In all of this uncertainty that's surrounding businesses at the present time, because of things that are happening in our country, I was interested to discover the story of the Tregothnan Tea Company. The Tregothnan Tea Company is a little tea company based in Cornwall, and they're credited as being the first English tea grower. They started planting the tea bushes in 1999, and it takes around 5 years to harvest tea. And so the first tea that they ever produced was in 2005. But actually their tea has taken off. And they market this tea to high-end establishments like Fortnum and Mason. I couldn't help but think, what on earth are they doing growing tea in Cornwall? But actually, I learned that Cornwall is ideal for producing tea. It's got a warm and equable maritime climate. It has enough rain. It's got acidic soil. It's perfect. It mimics the kind of climates elsewhere in the world where they actually grow tea. The tea it produces is very high quality. And you know what? Where does it export most of its tea to? China. China. Can you believe it? China is the largest producer of tea in the world. And yet this little tea company in Cornwall has pulled off a remarkable feat by selling its tea to the wealthy elite of China. How have they done it? Well, they've highlighted the certain things that are unique about their tea. One, the climate in Cornwall's cleaner than the climate in Beijing and Chinese tea plantations. And actually, yes, polluted environment, acidic rain, yes. Secondly, they've exploited the old adage that nothing says Britain like fine tea. And the people of China can't get enough of it. It's high-end stuff, got to tell you that. You can buy it if you want. £8.50 for 14 servings. So you might want to stick with Tetley, okay? But for the Chinese elite, they just cannot get enough of this stuff. I often think when I consider the issue of sharing my faith effectively, which is the whole thing about being fruitful, which we're discovering this year, of being fruitful in a modern society. I think it's a bit like selling tea to China. It's hard work, and it's not always productive. And so actually, like the Tregothnan Tea Company, perhaps we need to rethink the way in which we do the sharing of faith in order to be fruitful. In recent years, one of the books I've read that has really inspired my thinking is a book by Rick Richardson called Reimagining Evangelism. And it's brought a real fresh insight for me into the effective sharing of faith. Let's face it, people in our culture are not responding well to well-established evangelism practices. And actually, people in church aren't that excited about it either, nor are they too engaged in doing it. And I think when I went into training in the 80s, the first 6 weeks, they hammered home an evangelism course. We were given set methods to evangelize. And when I think of what we did, my word, gosh, it was a bit weird. Marching single behind the flag into the middle of Soho, singing "There's Only One Flag for Me," I'm not quite did it for anybody. But actually, it must have worked somewhere down the line. It must have been a practice that did work somewhere down the line. But actually, many followers of Jesus nowadays are as uncomfortable with this whole idea of evangelism as people who are not religious are. And the things that have helped us in the past reach the unchurched are now more of a hindrance. You see, God's working in new ways. People are spiritual, but they're not dogmatic. They want to know that God is real. And they're looking for stories and experiences that can connect them to God as much as they're looking for proof and reasons for God's existence. And you know, one of the more traditional images we've got of sharing faith, of being an evangelist, for want of a better word, is that of a spiritual salesman. What do? We dump our content on somebody and then we try and seal the deal. And that's what we think is sharing faith. You know, one of the most irritating things for me when I am out shopping, don't go out very often to be quite frank, I leave it to Claire and the girls, but when I am out shopping, when I go into a shop, it irritates me enormously to just go through the doors and within 3 seconds I've got somebody saying, "Can I help you, sir? Can I help you, sir?" I say, "Oh, go away, I've only just walked in." My immediate reaction is, "No, thank you, I'm just looking." And actually, what do? Within a few seconds, I've turned around and walked out the shop because I don't like the way that they do sales. Let me look. Let me browse. Let me have a tinker around with the things. But don't come up and give me a sales patter because you're not going to work. And yet, sometimes we have this idea that to share faith is exactly like that. We've got to get across something and then seal a deal. We think of sharing faith as sharing our strengths, to show that we've got it together, to show that we're with it spiritually. And yet, our weaknesses and our struggle and the truth about the cost in following Jesus and God are some of the greatest things we have to offer to people on their journey. Why? Because these are the things that make us human just like them. If you weren't able to be with us last Sunday afternoon for our YP annual, you missed a treat. You missed two young ladies sharing their testimony. And actually, I think they put many of us adults in the room to shame, because they shared their testimony in such a real way. They talked about their problems in life. They talked very openly about their need to have self-control, that fruit of the Spirit. They talked about their arguments with their siblings and how actually they didn't like who they were. And so rather than talking about all this positive stuff, they talked about themselves and they talked about their journey. And what a treat that was for me to hear. The greatest gift we can ever give our seeking and skeptical friends is the story of our spiritual struggles and doubts. Sharing our faith is about telling our story, not giving out dogma. In the past, we might have seen evangelism and sharing of faith as communicating certain truths and beliefs, starting with the sin of humanity, the judgment of God, the sacrifice of Jesus as he takes that judgment on the cross in our place. And often, if we haven't mentioned those things, we haven't shared our faith, we feel. Now, I'm not saying we lose sight of those truths, because those truths underpin everything that we are. But the key question when it comes to sharing faith is that where it should start? Should we really start with that? If we can tell a story about God's reality in the world, then isn't that sharing faith too? I think too often in the past, our faith-sharing activities have been done in the hope of leading to a point of decision. We focused on a decision. And often that decision indicates whether you're in or you're out. Whether you've joined the club or whether you're still outside the club. And actually, that's not how Jesus did his faith-sharing. He communicated the gospel in different ways that were outside the box. And you know, when he spoke about the kingdom of God, he spoke about the kingdom of God in the here and the now. He didn't talk about the afterlife as much as he talked about the kingdom of God in the here and the now, how the kingdom of God could change life now. Not that it was a case of believe this and you get into heaven. For many people nowadays, faith is not a one-off decision. It's a journey of moving towards a goal. And most are at different points on the journey. And so this morning I want to ask a question. Here's a new way to look at sharing your faith. Are you going to be a salesperson or a travel guide? Are you going to be a salesperson or a travel guide? The salesperson plonks all the dogma, all the things before somebody and expects to seal the deal. The travel guide gives contributions along the way to make the journey better, to point the right direction. In Acts chapter 10, I think Peter discovers he's not called to be a salesperson closing a deal. He's called to be a travel guide. As we read right at the very beginning, Cornelius was a man that was already a man that had some knowledge of faith. He wasn't new. He'd been praying to God. He was aware of God in some way. He gave generously. He was doing the acts and the practices of somebody who was seeking to know God. But clearly, he needed some help. And so for Cornelius, he didn't need a salesperson. He didn't need somebody to start from scratch to convince him of the nature of God. He needed somebody to help him along the way. And so God sent Peter. He gave him a vision, and then he sent men to take him from the place he was to go speak to Cornelius. And so Peter discovers he's not going to be a salesperson. He's going to be a travel guide. And he responds to the vision. He immediately goes where he's asked to go, and he finds himself at the house of Cornelius. And he says to Cornelius, "May I ask, why have you sent me? Why have you sent me?" So he doesn't come with his own agenda. He doesn't come with his own idea of what he's going to do when he gets there. He comes to stand alongside someone who's a seeker, but who's needing a little bit of direction. When you consider your faith sharing and your witness, where do you start? You know, some of the best conversations I've ever had were begun by the Holy Spirit long before I got there. I simply had to go along for the ride. And I would say to you and to me that actually in the business of sharing faith, discovering and collaborating with the Holy Spirit is the most important thing that we can actually do. The Holy Spirit was at work in the life of Cornelius. It was the Holy Spirit that gave the vision originally. It was the Holy Spirit that gave the vision to send people on their way to go pick Peter up. It was the Holy Spirit that acted in the life of Peter to show him that he was going to go to the Gentiles, that actually this Gentile man that he was going to go speak to was as much a worthy recipient of the gospel as any Jew. You see, the Holy Spirit was involved. The Holy Spirit was doing the work already. Peter was asked to join in for the ride. You know, in our witness, God goes before us. God is there with us. That's what our singing company sang at the very beginning of our meeting. But you know what? God remains after us. He's there before us. He's there with us. And he stays around long after we've gone. It's God who redeems. It's God who intervenes. And whenever we speak of Christ with someone, we do not stand alone. God is with us, in front, behind, before, and after. You see, witness isn't about us. It's all about Jesus. It's all about God, as the YP band reminded us. It's about God's presence in the journey of others. Peter gets to Cornelius, and actually, what's the content of what he actually says? It's not dynamic. All he says is exactly what he's seen. It's not a theology class on sanctification and redemption. He simply talks about being a witness and what he's been called to do post-resurrection. In fact, the one thing I love about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit don't even let him finish. Verse 44, while Peter was still speaking those words, the Holy Spirit came on all. So he's giving it full flow. And the Holy Spirit just cuts him off. I've had enough of that. I don't need you. Well, he does. But he does get in there. You know, the Holy Spirit acts through us when he can and in spite of us whenever he has to. The Holy Spirit works in us when he can and in spite of us whenever he has to. And so the first task in our faith sharing, in our wanting to reach out, is to learn to listen, to collaborate with the Holy Spirit. We can do nothing on our own. You know, Rick Warren, in his well-known book, The Purpose-Driven Church, says this: we should stop praying, Lord, bless what I'm doing, and start praying, Lord, help me to do what you're blessing. We should stop praying, Lord, bless what I'm doing, and start praying, Lord, help me to do what you are blessing. And actually, how true is that? Collaboration with the Spirit is not doing something and then asking the Spirit to bless what we're doing, but actually catching where the wind of the Spirit is moving, where the Lord is already working. Finally, I think it's important to recognize that we need to be confident of our own relationship with God. When I read Peter's little speech, I read of a confident man. There was no sense of not knowing what he was talking about. It was very simple what he was saying, but he spoke with confidence. And I think sometimes when it comes to having confidence, we do lack. That period from verses 39 to 42 was spoken very confidently. We are witness of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him and hanged him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead. It was confident expression of what he'd seen. I think sometimes in some environments, even simply admitting that we're Christians, even admitting that we're followers, disciples, can seem quite a big order. Often when I've been in places like that, I've thought to myself, well, what questions will people ask? What will they assume about me if I even tell them? But you know, as believers, we love Jesus and he loves us. And we can have confidence in that simple statement. We love Jesus and he loves us. And therefore there's no need to deny anything or hide anything. Peter didn't. One of the best testimonies that we can have when sharing our faith is the easy and effective thing of loving others, loving God, working hard, and people will notice. There's not always opportunity to share our faith through conversation. And that's why our actions matter. And do you know what? It's so important that we work and live with excellence. And that's something we can all do. Be good at what you do. Do it well. Be known as someone who's putting their best into their work and into the way they live, who's loving and respectful of those around them, sets us apart. And so today, let's invest in our relationship with God and everyone. Let's be proud of our identity in Christ. And let's be excellent at what we do. So let me ask you, as I come to the end of the thoughts for this morning, in the sharing of faith, are you trying to be a salesperson? Or are you going to be a travel guide? Let me ask you, are you doing what you do in collaboration with the Spirit? Are you making that prayer, Lord, help me to do what you are blessing? Or are you still making the prayer, Lord, bless what I'm doing? And are you confident of your own relationship with God? We love Jesus, he loves us. And we can have confidence in this. And are we working and living with excellence, being good at what we do? May it be so. Let's share a prayer. Father God, the sharing of faith is something we all want to do. And yet it's sometimes very difficult for us to do. Sometimes we don't know how to, in a modern society, do it effectively. Sometimes we rely on past traditions that might have worked for us or past practices that might have worked in the past, but they don't excite us anymore. And so today, we just pray that you'll help us when it comes to the sharing of our faith. Because it's something we want to do for you each and every day. And firstly, it's important that we recognise it's not always done with words. And so we ask that you will help us to be good at what we do, to live a life that's excellent, to live a life that will set us apart. But equally so, Lord, may we have confidence in knowing that the relationship with you is something that nobody can take away. We love you, you love us. And may we be confident in that. May we recognise as well that we're called to be travel guides, helping people along the journey, not just piling onto them a load of things, dogmatic things, but let's help them to gently work through their experience. And most of all, Lord, help us to be open to collaboration with the Holy Spirit, that we may every day say, Lord, help me to do what you're blessing, not Lord, bless what I'm doing. So Lord, help us this week as we go out into the world as disciples. Help us to be fruitful. Help us to be effective as we seek to share our faith and let our light shine before men. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.